Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you have children or were in school during the first years of the pandemic, you know firsthand the challenges to education and learning. And those hardships from virtual and hybrid classrooms can still be felt today. Flash forward 3 years later, we're still seeing some concrete evidence of what the pandemic cost California students in terms of English and math proficiency. In short, it reversed nearly six straight years of academic improvement. The PPIC, or Public Policy Institute of California, is an independent, nonpartisan think tank and recently reviewed the most recent data on learning loss. The results show that California ranks towards the bottom for math and English. Among the 50 states, including Washington, D.C., California is ranked 38th in math and 33rd in reading. But this data is important to find the right solutions. Joining us to discuss some key findings is Iwunze Ugo, a research fellow at PPIC, the Public Policy Institute of California. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So we have heard anecdotally, really since the start of the pandemic, when everything shut down in 2020, you know, the learning loss associated with the pandemic. But now we really are getting some concrete numbers and a clearer picture of that impact. So before we get into the numbers and dive in, tell us about where this data came from and the time frame that it was collected.
Sure. So we're talking about the spring 2022 administration of the Smarter Balance Tests, or the SBAC tests. These are the state standards tests in reading and math. They're administered to students in grades 3 through 8, as well as grade 11. And there was a great deal of interest in these results because they provide the first real look at student scores throughout the pandemic. The tests were canceled in 2020, and the spring 2021 tests were made optional as districts still struggled to reopen, and fewer than 25% of students took those exams. So again, these 2022 scores are really our first look at how students have fared through the years of the pandemic. And also, students took this test again this past spring in 2023. And we're looking forward to those results later this fall to get another look at how that progress is evolving as students continue to emerge from the pandemic.
So those 2022 tests were really like your first real kind of snapshot of the impacts of the pandemic. And that must have been a big deal for someone like you who researches K-12 education in the state.
Yes, absolutely. It's been an incredible challenge for districts throughout the state managing the pandemic. You know, they were, in a sense, flying blind a lot because, you know, there's all this stuff is happening at the same time and they're trying to sort of keep up with everything that they were facing. And from the outside, as researchers, there's sort of notes here and there, but this is our first real statewide look across a variety of subgroups and, you know, a real comprehensive look at how students are doing.
What was the big message that you got from these 2022 Smarter Balanced assessments?
I think the top line number is that these years of the pandemic were very challenging. Students struggled. We saw, you know, significant setbacks in proficiency rates. And, you know, those were widespread. You know, in every student group that we looked at, we saw those shares of students meeting the state standards in both reading and math declined by quite a bit, math even more so.
Mm. Yeah, you also found when looking back, you know, to what, 2013 to 2019, I believe, that, you know, there was steady progress in academic achievement when it came to English and math proficiency across the state. Can you give us a better understanding of why that progress and that improvement was taking place in the years leading up to the pandemic?
Sure. So California underwent a massive set of reforms to its funding and accountability system with the local control funding formula, as well as the local control accountability plans, the sort of continuous improvement process, and a reform of its state assessment system to the SBACs away from the California Standards Test, or the CST, was part of that reform. There were massive increases in funding. A lot of funding was reformed to target high-need students, low-income and English learner students. And we were seeing some steady progress and improvements from those reforms. There was a bit of a resetting of the levels as we moved away to the new test, but in the years since the first year of administration of that test in 2015, scores had been improving year by year up until, of course, the pandemic, which hit, you know, in the first year after 2019.
Yeah. So you were looking at assessments from 2019 and now you have assessments from 2022. And what the research found was that it reversed 6 years of academic improvement. I mean, how bad of a regression are we talking about?
It's a lot, right? You know, 6 years, you know, that's, you know, from first grade to seventh grade, you know, that's a long time in a student's trajectory. One thing that we looked at, especially when we're talking about growth, is, you know, typically we'll report on proficiency rates. You know, that's the share of students meeting state standards. And sometimes we might even compare that to the rates from previous years. But when we really want to hone in on student growth, on academic progress, we like to follow cohorts of students over time, right, to see how a set of students is progressing through the state school system. And looking over the last 3 years, you know, recent cohorts are of particular interest because, you know, let's say going from grade three to grade six, for example, those recent cohorts, and this is putting it incredibly lightly, have had a very different 3 years compared to
students. Bumpy, to say the least, right?
Yes, exactly. And looking at those results, you know, comparing sort of the progression of growth, which is something that we can do with the SBAC tests, we saw that students in this most recent pandemic-affected cohort had about 70% of the progress over the last 3 years that previous cohorts had over the same stretch of time, right? So you think, you know, 70%, that's a 30% less, a third less progress over 3 years. So yes, you know, we're seeing that these most recent cohorts are about a grade behind where we would expect them to be, you know, if not for the massive disruptions of the pandemic.
You also honed in when it comes to a period of education, students moving from third to sixth grade. Why choose this period?
It's a very important time in a student's trajectory. Lots of research shows that, you know, some of the achievement gaps that are the target of, you know, policies and interventions, you know, a lot of those start very early in a child's life, you know, earlier, sixth grade, third grade, even on to early childhood, preschool, things like that. And so it's important to see how students are doing early on the path, especially with such a disruption in their careers, right? You know, we're going to emerge from the pandemic that's ongoing. But this experience, you know, has set students back, and, you know, catching up is a challenge. And, you know, they're starting from a lower base, and that's something that will be with this set of students for a long time. So it's important to see how that early progress is looking, and it's something that we'll be looking at throughout as we get more and more new results from the next administration of the state tests.
Yeah, catching it early, right? Because they still have a lot of years of K-12 education after sixth grade.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, this is it's a hurdle to jump over, not that, you know, school independent of the pandemic was easy in the first place, right? So these children are facing even more challenges on top of, you know, longstanding challenges that have been not just California students, but students around the nation.
Okay, so when it comes to students across the country, is this a common trend? How does California compare to other states?
Yeah, so when we want to talk about national sort of statewide interstate comparisons, we use the National Assessment of Educational Progress, the NAEP, or NAEP. And on those tests, California has sort of consistently lagged behind the national average. But, you know, notably, California is a very large, diverse state. It has high shares of low-income students, multilingual students. So when we compare to other similar large, diverse states, Florida, Texas, New York, we see that California's results are much more similar to those. Admittedly, Florida is far ahead of California, but, you know, very similar to Texas, slightly behind in math, and then better or sort of ahead of New York in reading and math. So difficult in general, but compared to other large states, pretty similar.
Mm. Given how diverse California is, I'm sure when you really honed in and got a front row seat to how it affects individual students or certain demographics, when it comes to students who are non-native English speakers, what did the data show about the impact that hybrid or virtual learning had on their academic achievement?
The results showed that English learners had a difficult time. We saw the sort of continuation of longstanding persistent achievement gaps. I think the rates of students meeting state standards in both reading and math were about 15 percentage points lower for English learner students compared to their peers. And we also saw similar results for other high-need student groups, low-income students, Black and Latino students, all had pretty consistent large achievement gaps that existed sort of before and continued on during the pandemic. One interesting point, though, is that the actual size of the declines were slightly smaller for these high-need groups, although, you know, these are, you know, the differences are minimal. They're essentially tied. You know, statistically, they're the same. But, you know, the fact that these results weren't much worse for these high-need student groups is, I think, suggestive that the massive investments from the federal and state government of funds, a lot of which were targeted to these high-need student groups, may have been effective in mitigating some of perhaps the worst potential effects of, you know, a massive disruption like this.
Hmm. Well, are there differences also when you looked at or compared rural school districts compared to urban areas in California and bigger cities?
Yes. Rural districts had a tough time as well. Their rates of proficiency were about 5 percentage points lower in both reading and math. And although rural school districts reopened earlier than urban school districts, you know, their early experience with the pandemic was much more difficult because we see that in these areas there are much higher rates of a lack of access to the kinds of technologies, you know, high-speed internet devices, things like that, that are needed for virtual learning.
Were there any students that either stayed consistent with the assessments that were taken in 2019 or actually fared better, you know, when looking at tests in from 2022?
Unfortunately, this pandemic was, a substantial challenge for the entire state. You know, in all the subgroups that we looked at, and this is across income, race, gender, English language fluency, every subgroup saw their rates of proficiency decline between 2019 and 2022. It's really a matter of which groups had smaller declines versus others, but unfortunately, no, at least total subgroup, you know, came out of the pandemic better than they went in.
Mm. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Iwunze Ugo, Research Fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California, about new research that's giving us a clearer picture of learning loss during the COVID-19 pandemic in California. You mentioned state as well as federal funding, you know, policymakers, you know, stepping up to the plate during the pandemic. Has it been effective or is there room for improvement?
So going back to March 2020, the onset of the pandemic, federal and state policymakers intervened with massive amounts of funding for the state's schools, both in California and around the nation. Funding for California alone totaled over $28 billion. A lot of those programs were general purpose. Some were designated to particular objectives. There was a variety of different funding streams. One district leader reported that the sort of interacting, overlapping streams of funding could sometimes feel like a plandemic. But even though, you know, making sure that the coherence between all these different funding streams in terms of the interventions and outputs that districts provided was a challenge, this funding was crucial to keep districts afloat and to support the state students.
Given that there obviously needs to be more progress to catch up what was lost during the pandemic when it comes to learning, a lot of that funding was one-time use funding. It's not sustainable. Is that a concern for you as districts are now tasked with helping students catch up, you know, a grade?
Yeah, that's the sort of new additional challenge that is in the air for districts now. We're still working on emerging from the pandemic, but a big focus now is as these emergency funds start to wrap up, one of the major funds, ESSER, is scheduled to sort of lapse at the end of September 2024. They only have a year left to spend a lot of these, massive funding streams. And so a big focus for districts is going to be how to identify and maintain the programs that have been most effective in this challenge of learning recovery. It's going to be very important for districts, and most of them already are, to seriously consider their data collection efforts and their community engagement in order to identify those programs that are most effective.
Mm. You talked about smarter balance assessments, and that was used to see, you know, what progress or a regression took place for students across the state. Are smarter balance assessments the best measure of a student's success?
There's a lot that goes into student success. Of course, knowing that how well students are doing on reading and math is important, incredibly crucial. But, you know, there's a state test in science, social studies and civics are important. And even beyond that, more summative measures like readiness for college and career, graduation rates are particularly important. Arts and athletics are a particular area that have been really set back by the inability of students to be together. Those took a hit. And then even more broadly, socio-emotional learning and student engagement have been increasingly more important for on the minds of district policymakers. You know, making schools a place where students can feel welcome is increasingly important, and it's been the focus of a lot more attention. And that has been particularly important in the current context because a lot of districts are struggling with dramatically heightened rates of chronic absenteeism.
Yeah. I mean, mental health is a big component of it as well, not just for children, but I think for a lot of people over the last 3 years. Finally, if you're a parent or you're a teacher or a staff member at a K through 12 school, you're listening to this, you're taking in the data that you laid out, what do you hope they take away from this research and conversation?
I think the main takeaway is that we students in California have gone through a lot. I mean, the entire state has gone through a lot. It's been a very traumatic time. And we didn't know the extent of those effects, at least in terms of student achievement on, you know, the state tests. So now we have a bit more information on, you know, how deep the depths are, I guess. And now the focus is, given that, what do we do to continue to make progress in terms of learning recovery? You know, are we going to maintain programs that have been particularly effective? Are we going to seek new funding streams to support those programs and the teachers that administer them? And focusing on how students continue to emerge is going to be the next thing. So we're looking forward to the next test results, to innovative policies that districts are employing to get students back on track, not just to where they were before the pandemic, but to address the challenges that have existed for long before then. And also, you know, not just in test scores, but in the entire educational experience for the state's school children.
Are there still outlier big questions that you want answered as a researcher?
Of course. It's great to have, you know, these statewide results, but, you know, California has 1,000 different districts, 10,000 different schools, and, you know, principals and teachers. You know, it's an army out there, right? And, you know, this has been a very trying time. Districts have been forced to be very innovative because of the urgency of the pandemic. And, you know, there have been some success stories there, right? So as we have more experience with sort of the variety of how things have gone throughout the state, I think really identifying and pulling out the practices and programs that have turned out to be really effective is going to be key, because, you know, we want to see, it's great to see those successes. And after identifying them, you know, the hope is that they can be spread throughout the state so that all the state's children can be exposed to those really effective programs.
Iwunze, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Iwunze Ugo is a research fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.